This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey everyone! Do you wish you were somewhere sunny, but are dealing with another crazy spring? There's a solution to get that feeling. I'm grabbing a Hawaiian Breeze 5-Hour Energy and escaping there in my mind! Sports fans, ever stay up late for the game and drag the next day? A 5-Hour Energy shot will fix that no problem. 5-Hour Energy's website has tons of flavors, over 15 to choose from. Watermelon, Tropical Burst, Blue Raspberry, and even hard-to-find ones like Strawberry Lemonade and Extra Strength Fan Fuel. There's a flavor for everyone. You can even build your own 12 or 24-pack and have it delivered. Or grab a shot at your local store. They're everywhere! And it's basketball season. My schedule is packed, and I don't want to miss a second, so I grab a 5-Hour Energy shot. They're perfect for back-to-back games or when my team plays late. 5-Hour Energy keeps me going through the game and the next morning. Visit 5hourenergy.com for deals and to stock up before tip-off.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What's going on, DMV? You know who it is. Youngest in Charge Movement. Linnell Willingham here with you live and local on 106.7 The Fan. And always streaming live nationally on the always free Odyssey app. Ride with me. It'll take you up to 10 to 15 here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. Plenty to get to. For all of you that were complaining that Adam Peters had not been active enough during free agency, well, today was the day that he got very active, bringing back a litany of household names, a bunch of guys that were here last year. We'll get the impact and potential ramifications on all of those signings as we roll throughout the show. Day number two of NFL free agency in the National Football League, my absolute favorite time of the year. And to this point, I know we've had a lot of discussions over the past few nights about just the mentality of this front office and this football team and where they are exactly. And is it smart? Does it make sense for them to be as aggressive as they have been? What you saw today from Washington, is what I expected. And to be honest with you, it's about when I expected it as well. They went into this offseason with 27 unrestricted free agents, talking about the Commanders. There was a lot of holes to fill. And I predicted that about 13 to 15 of those 27 UFAs would officially be brought back. And as we sit here on March the 13th of 2025, Washington has done a pretty decent job filling out this roster. Obviously, right? More work to do, but they've done a really good job, in my opinion, today in particular, pretty much filling out the depth pieces in the back end of this roster. So the today's signings that Washington made, pretty impactful, in my opinion. They put pen to paper on a deal with Michael Dieter to return as a depth piece up front along this offensive line. Be honest with you, of all the moves that were made today, I think the Michael Dieter re-signing is the one that left me the most underwhelmed. And it would have been one of the guys that I probably wouldn't have brought back. But what do I always say? We're at the mercy of the evaluator. Whatever Adam Peters and company choose to do, they've earned the benefit of the doubt. So I'm going to ride with it. But Michael Dieter brought back today. Trent Scott brought back today. And I thought Trent Scott, he was on my list of 13 to 15 guys that I would be, you know, pounding on the table to bring back. Trent Scott, I think, is huge. I would love to see them let Trent Scott be a guard and allow him to compete for a depth spot at that position, because between the divisional round against Detroit and then the NFC Championship game against Philadelphia, I thought Trent Scott held up well for himself and for the team, more importantly. The thing I love about Trent Scott, he's going to be the answer to one of the most difficult trivia questions ever about 10, 15 years from now when Jaden Daniels is carving out his resume to go to Canton. He was the recipient of the first ever touchdown pass from Jaden Daniels. So I'll always have love for him for that. That was two moves that they made up front along the offensive line. You saw some skill guys brought back as well. KJ Osborne was not on my short list of UFAs that Washington should bring back, but they did so. One-year deal. I don't know if he makes the final 53, but if nothing else, it's competition and depth in that room. I thought instead of KJ Osborne, it would be the combination of Noah Brown and Olamide Zaccheaus. Noah Brown re-signed earlier today as well. 1 year, $4.5 million. I mean, for a guy to endear himself with the fan base as quickly as Noah Brown did, I think you had to bring him back. Obviously, he catches the big Hail Mary to beat Chicago. But think about what you got from Noah Brown in week number two. When we first started to see this passing game sort of open up, so to speak, against the Giants, it was Noah Brown, after being here for only a cup of coffee, already making an impact. And you saw what he was able to do last year before the kidney laceration. I still think he is the guy that factors in to what this offense is going to want to accomplish. He is a commander. The game that I – what game was it? Was it Chicago? May have been the Chicago game. The game where I knew, hey, this guy's a certified badass and I need him on my 53 moving forward. They were using Noah Brown as like a lead blocker on plays in the alley, on run plays, and he was sticking his face mask in there, getting his hands dirty. The other sneaky thing about Noah Brown, I don't know if it's fluke. I don't know if he just got lucky. I think it's a skill. Last year, Noah Brown was second in the National Football League in yards drawn on defensive pass interference penalties. Again, don't know if that's a skill. Could be random, but it's something that he did well for this offense. I think they had to bring him back. Your Commanders wide receiver room now is as follows. Terry McLaurin, obviously. You know you made the trade for Deebo Samuel. Noah Brown brought back. Luke McCaffrey in the fold and under contract. And then KJ Osborne. You have five wide receivers under contract right now if you're Washington. I think they go into camp with 9, 10. Ultimately, I don't know how many they keep, but I think you're starting to see a position group begin to round itself out. Just like we're seeing it at wide receiver, we also saw it earlier today at the defensive back spot talking about corner. And corner was, to me, toward the top of the list of positions of need. But I always said, if you could not get the premier outside corner that would allow you to bump Mikey Samuels still back inside, I was okay with running it back with Marshawn Lattimore on the perimeter, Mikey Samuels still on the perimeter, and then Noah Igbinoghi in the slot. They bring Noah I back on a one-year deal. Love that. When you couple the Noah I re-signing, you add that to what they did yesterday at corner, bringing in Jonathan Jones from the New England Patriots, all of a sudden, your defensive backs room is really starting to shape itself out. You got depth. You improve that group. Because if we're just doing a one-for-one swap, clearly, right, Super Bowl champion, guy that's got ball production in Jonathan Jones, greater than Benjamin St. Juice. So I like what they're doing at this point. It's still, to me, way too early to give some sort of sweeping declaration about the offseason as a whole. But I think it's safe to say on March the 13th, they're a much better football team, to me at least, than when the clock hit triple zeros in the NFC Championship game. They are slowly but surely improving this roster, and I don't really have any qualms about it. I don't have any complaints. I like what they're doing. I like what they're doing. Today felt like, let's bring our own guys back. Let's continue to have some familiarity within this thing, and I feel like you did that with the signings that you had today. The one signing that I'm going to turn my nose up at and go, I don't know, is Michael Dieter. Michael Dieter was terrible last year when he had to play. Michael Dieter a season ago was a liability every time he touched the field. You can say I'm hyperbolizing that. You can say I'm a hater. I call it being real. Michael Dieter is not him, if I'm being honest with you. And it's rare that we describe offensive linemen as him, right? It's not a sexy, glorified position. I noticed, and it was a glaring, glaring hole when Tyler Biadasz was not in the lineup. Here's the other reason why I'm confused about Michael Dieter. You had a major injury happen in the divisional round of that postseason game against Detroit. Sam Cosmi, unfortunately, tears his ACL. Instead of going to your first interior backup, you kicked Trent Scott from tackle inside to guard. So that tells me everything I need to know about how this team feels about Michael Dieter. I'm going to take it a step further. If he makes this roster, they didn't do a good enough job improving the depth along this interior offensive line. I'm just being honest with you. He's a guy that is a little bit long in the tooth. I don't know if it was an injury last year, but he was not good. Point blank. He just wasn't. So the fact that he's back on your roster, I have some questions about it, but what are we? We're at the mercy of the evaluator. So I'm going to shut up. I'm going to wait and see. But on its surface, not a fan of the move. Not a fan of the move. Washington lost a couple of guys in free agency as well over the past several days, about 10 minutes ago, I think. The news broke while I was on my way here. Alameda Zacchaeus, who was, to me, a guy that really I wanted back. I'll be real with you. I was standing on the table to have him back. The production that he gave you last year was damn good. And it felt like he was a guy that was a locker room favorite amongst his teammates. I don't know how much that matters to the guys in the locker room, but he is now left for the Chicago Bears. And the thing about Alameda, I don't know how much money Chicago gave him, so that obviously is going to influence things. He had a career year this past year in every statistical category. Catches, targets, not in yards, but in touchdowns as well. So, big fan of Alameda Zacchaeus. Wish him nothing but the best in Chicago. But I think it was either him or KJ Osborne, and they chose KJ Osborne. Be honest with you, not a bad choice if you're going off of just purely career production. KJ Osborne has been the more decorated receiver in his NFL career, with a career high of 60 catches back in 2022, and he's younger. So I don't mind the move at all. I'm curious to see, you know, whether or not KJ makes the roster. I'm curious to see whether or not Luke McCaffrey makes the roster. It is going to be competition at a lot of different spots throughout training camp. Training camp is going to be fun. The preseason is going to be fun. And it was last year. But to me, as we sit here on March the 13th, 2025, you're in a pretty decent spot right now. I think you're in a pretty decent spot right now. I think you've gotten better. I think the depth of your football team is okay. But clearly, right, there are holes to fill still. There are needs that still exist across this roster. But I feel a hell of a lot better about corner. I feel a hell of a lot better about wide receiver. My tight end room, I think, is pretty much set. You're returning the same Stooges from last year. Stooges is mean. That comes off as negative. It's not what I meant. But you get what I'm saying. Same cast of characters from last year at tight end. Your running back room, that's where things get interesting because they've made some small moves at running back. Jeremy McNichols brought back on a one-year deal. He's going to have to fight his ass off, I think, to make the final 53. Chris Rodriguez was given an exclusive rights tender, so he's going to be back here. You got four guys right now. Brian Robinson, Austin Ekeler, Jeremy McNichols, and Chris Rodriguez. I also expect them to bring in a back or two via the draft, and then it gets interesting. Jeremy McNichols and Chris Rodriguez aren't both making this roster. Let's just be very real about the situation. I know a lot of us are quick to want to replace Brian Robinson. You kick Brandon Coleman inside the guard, and you're running behind Laremy Tunsil and Brandon Coleman, maybe B-Rob looks better. I would love for them to bring in competition at the running back spot. If they chose to go running back at 29, you wouldn't see me turn my nose up at it. I think what they needed to accomplish offensively, though, was improving your pass protection. And I think you needed to get more explosive. You did both of those things by trading for Deebo Samuel and by trading for Laremy Tunsil. So I think you got to feel really good about where you're at offensively. On the defensive side, you needed to add to your run defense. That, to me, was the big issue. Setting the edge. The Commander's defense hasn't set the edge consistently since October of 2023 when you traded away Chase Young and Montez Sweat. It's been a struggle ever since then to have defensive ends that can consistently set the edge and be a positive in the run game. Last night, we were on the air when the news broke. Dietrich Wise of the New England Patriots brought in. I was listening earlier. I think it was Tom Curran was on with Grant and Toby. You listen when folks from New England talk about other folks from New England. Because the opposite of how Houston folks are treating Laremy Tunsil, where they're spitting on him basically and kicking him in the ass on the way out, every New England beat writer that I've heard today, from Mike Reese to Tom Curran, nothing but positive things to say about the two Patriots that were brought in. Jonathan Jones at the defensive back spot, and then Dietrich Wise at defensive end. We went over it last night. Dietrich Wise, to me, is interesting. He really is. Now, Curran best described him as like a rotational guy that's got starter potential. When you've been as bad at defensive end as Washington has been over the past couple of seasons, maybe, just maybe, Dietrich Wise can carve out a nice role here in Washington. 16 sacks over the past three seasons. So I love that production. It's not bad for a guy that wasn't a full-time player. He was a captain in New England as well. So, like, those are the type of things that I like to see, and I think it helps you fill out the depth of your roster. On that side of the football, though, you had some losses, right? You no longer have Jeremy Chinn. You replaced him with Will Harris. We will see whether or not that is an upgrade, a downgrade, or a stalemate. My money is banking on it being a small stalemate with the chance for an upgrade because I think there is more coverage upside with Will Harris. You don't, God put and built Jeremy Chinn in a lab and said, son, when you come out of your mama, you're playing safety. Point blank, period. Like that is, he was built in a lab to play that position. Herculean-like frame. Washington's going to miss him. And it's not like Vegas broke the bank to acquire his services. I would love to be a fly on the wall to know some of the conversations that were had internally in Ashburn between the pro scouts, Lance Newmark, Adam Peters, and the coaching staff. Because we just found out, and we'll play that audio for you in the 7 o'clock hour, DJ Reed, his introductory press conference with the Detroit Lions, he admitted it came down to Detroit and Washington. So for those of you out there that have been crying and moaning and groaning about AP not being aggressive on defense, he tried to go get one of the top corners on the market. The top corner on the market, some would say, in DJ Reed. So he obviously chose Detroit. They pivot, and we're here right now. It is what it is the best way that I can put it. Would have loved to have DJ Reed, but I think the room that they currently have, obviously you're going to add some pieces to it. It's not bad. I've always been a guy that said, hey, I don't mind running back Noah I, Mikey, and Marshawn Lattimore next year. That defensive back room, that cornerback room, and the success of it, to me, it all comes down to how healthy Marshawn Lattimore is, and we'll monitor that throughout OTAs, mandatory mini camp, training camp, all of that. But Washington pretty active today, making moves. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at NELL_BTP. We'll take a quick timeout when we come back. Wizards in action there in Detroit, taking on the Pistons. We got some big-time Wizards news earlier today. We'll get you that in the 7 o'clock hour. The Caps getting geared up to continue their three-game West Coast road trip. They're in L.A. taking on the Kings. And then free agency, it continues. We'll keep you up to speed with all the signings as they happen here throughout the night. When we come back, we told you Washington was active bringing their own guys back. They also made a key decision up front along the offensive line. We'll get to that next as well. This is The Fan.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership, and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
March Madness is here, and if you want to enhance the experience, join me, Gary Parrish, and my colleague Matt Norlander on the Ion College Basketball Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. We have new episodes at least three times a week and at the end of every night of the NCAA tournament. So before you go to bed, hang with us or know we'll be there when you awake. We'll break down games, make picks against the spread. Most of all, we'll have a blast. So join us on the Ion College Basketball Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Just getting rolling here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the youngest in Charles and L. Willingham taking you up to 10 o'clock, 10:15 actually. Got to correct myself. Caps hockey coming up after we're off the air. A lot to get to. We'll preview Caps and Kings before we get out of here. A lot to get to in the back half of the show. We'll talk a little bit of college hoops. Talk a little bit of NBA. Get you some news on the Wizards, who got some pretty unfortunate news earlier today. They're getting ready to tip off any second now in Detroit taking on the Pistons. And I guess I'll get you that news. And we'll tell it to you again later because you know the audience will change. Bilal Coulibaly out for the remainder of the season. Well, 4 to 6 weeks is what the official ruling is. With a hamstring injury, I expect him to be shut down for the rest of the season. We'll talk about that in more detail a little bit more as the show rolls on, but a tough blow for the D.C. family as they try to build some continuity within their youngins here in the second half of the season. Right now, though, I want to continue to talk all things Washington Commanders. Free agency is that time of year where I think it exposes the casuals and the diehards. If we talk about fans, right? There has been a lot of displeasure surrounding the inactivity of Washington. And I don't want to say from everybody, but from a lot of folks. Today they were active. to me, today was about building the base of this roster out, bringing back Michael Dieter. Ugh, didn't want to do that, but they did it. Bringing back Trent Scott, bringing back Noah Brown, bringing back KJ Osborne, things that you needed to do. So I'm not mad at it at all. I think the offense outside of running back, maybe, I think you're set on offense for now. Obviously, you're going to bring in depth pieces that compete and will try and do their damnedest to get a spot on this 53-man roster. But I think offensively, you're set. You're going to add a couple of depth pieces in the draft up front. You're going to add a running back, presumably. And you're going to obviously round out your receiver room. But isn't it a good feeling to know that you're set on the offensive side of the football? To me, here's the reason that they're set. Earlier today, it was the news was broken by this Twitter name is @MySportsUpdate. I always struggle saying his actual name. Ari Marov is what I think it is. He announced that Washington restructured the contract of right tackle Andrew Wiley, meaning that he is going to be here for the 2025 season. I know there was a lot of discussion about, well, do you cut Wiley? Is he a guy that you move on with because of the cap savings? I've always felt this way about whether or not you bring back Andrew Wiley. Did you have an immediate upgrade? Because I'm not in the business of getting worse on the field. You pick up what I'm putting down? That's not what I want to do. I don't want to get worse. And cutting him, knowing what the tackle market is, there was a chance you could have gotten worse. And there's a chance you would have went into the draft having to take a tackle early. Now I think with Wiley being back, you don't have to do anything in the draft offensively with your first two picks. And when I say that, let me expound upon that. There's no glaring need, I would say, on your offense is how I would put it. As we sit here at 7:05 on March the 13th, there is not a glaring hole on this offense. We could argue that at 1-800-636-1067, but that's just how I feel about it. I think after what they did today, obviously they're going to add pieces. I'm not saying that the work is done, but I'm comfortable with the depth that they have on this football team. And I think that is a big part of creating a sustained winner. Now, they get a little old, right? The average age on this team, they're one of the older teams in the National Football League. I think that will continue to change over the life of Jayden Daniels' contract. What I think they're doing right now is saying, let's push all our chips into the middle and capitalize, as we all have been repeating, capitalize on Jayden Daniels being on this rookie contract. And I think as we move next year, the year after, you will see them begin to supplement these veterans with draft picks. And I think that's the goal, and that's how you build a sustained winner. Because guess what? I think Jayden Daniels has a good shot he becomes the first $100 million per year quarterback. When you got somebody making that type of cheese, you know what I'm talking about? Like, you got to really have cheap, affordable talent. And I think that is when Washington will make that a priority. Right now, it's not. Right now, it's build the best football team to go compete with the Philadelphia Eagles and the rest of the contenders across the National Football League. That, to me, is what this offseason was about. Yeah, they're going to supplement with ancillary pieces here and there through the draft, but the bottom line is you're in competition with the team up 95. You need to do what you can to close the gap between yourself and Philadelphia. And depending on who you talk to, that gap is massive. But like I said, it's depending on who you talk to. Some folks think that the gap isn't that big. I look at it on paper. From a talent perspective, the gap is big. But when you take into account the individual impact of each team's quarterback, when you take into account the coaching staffs on each team, I think the gap is not that big. And I think if you watched all three of the contests this year against Philly, Washington showed you the gap's not that big. Thursday night, competed their ass off against the Eagles. Offense was struggling on a short week. JD was nicked up. But it was a competitive football game until the final 4 minutes where they kind of pulled away because you couldn't do diddly-poo on offense.
You go back to the game that was here in week, what was it, 16 or week 15. You go back to that game, albeit Jalen Hurts goes out. You show that you can compete with this group. You were without John Allen in that game. You were dinged up front in that game. Your running game couldn't get going. You turned it over five times, and you won. You go to the NFC Championship game. I don't give a rat's ass what the final score was. I could care less. Anybody who watched this football game would be able to tell you that, hey, before Austin Eckler's fumble, Washington was driving to cut it to four, or with a touchdown and a two-point conversion, with a field goal would have cut it to eight, with a touchdown would have cut it to four. They were down 11 when that fumble happened. So that to me, when you look at it through that lens, I think what they've done to this point is fine. I want to focus in on the move they made earlier, though, up front along the offensive line, because that is, to me, a position of need. And I looked at Andrew Wiley as a guy that I would have loved to upgrade, if I'm being real. If you inject me with truth serum and, you know, get me talking loose, I would have loved to upgrade from Andrew Wiley, but you didn't. You still may do that because there may be a tackle drafted that competes with him. But what has been talked about today has been interesting. And I saw John Kime tweet it. The fans are now going off of Kime's tweet, but I think Kime always, as a smart media person would do, he's not a prognosticator. John Kime's not a damn weatherman. He's not making predictions. I think for him to tweet what he tweeted about Brandon Coleman probably slides to right tackle, I don't necessarily agree with that. And I'm not trying to discredit John Kime or anything. I just think from a football standpoint, makes no damn sense. It doesn't. From a football standpoint, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense. Andrew Wiley hasn't played guard in years. So kicking him inside over Brandon Coleman, I'm not really, that's not something I'm in favor of. Brandon Coleman, while he was a demon in the run game, putting people on their ass, when he got his hands on you in the run game, he was dominant. He was really good getting up to the second level. I love him in space in the run game. As a pass protector, he gave up the third most sacks in the NFL. I think it was 10 sacks he gave up last year. Why would you put him in the same predicament on the other side of the offensive line? That doesn't make football sense to me. And I understand what's out there. But I'm telling you, just think about it here. Don't take every piece of cheese, you rats. No, I'm joking. Joking. But you get what I'm saying. Brandon Cole flipped between left tackle and left guard. I think while he was a serviceable left tackle, that in all actuality, if they didn't exceed their expectations last year the way that they did, I think they would have just rocked out with BC at tackle, if I'm being real. Because he wasn't horrible. There was clearly room to grow, but to me, he was serviceable at tackle. I think he's got all pro potential at the guard spot. While he was a serviceable tackle, talking about Brandon Coleman, I think he has all pro potential at the guard spot. You think about what he already is good at. His hands are like vice grips. When he gets his hands on you, it's over. You might as well call Tyrone. It's over for you. Think about how much easier it is when you're playing in a phone booth at guard to get your hands on people relative to being out on an island at tackle.
When the Laremy Tunsil news broke, I was sitting in class. I was so excited. I wanted to raise my hand and say, Professor, Jaden Daniels has his left tackle in Laremy Tunsil, a five-time All-Proer, and Brandon Coleman is going to become an All-Pro guard. This is the best news I've ever heard. I was going to raise my hand and say that in class.
For sure.
But then I got the news from Kime today. I was like, I guess I would have been wrong to call out in class like that. I might have gotten in trouble. I might have got my grade dropped.
You may have gotten your grade dropped and kicked out for no reason, according to our guy John Kime. Look, I know what Kime tweeted, but Kime also, I'm going to go to his Twitter page because I saw a tweet where he kind of hedged and was like, nothing is set in stone yet, blase, blase, blah. And I agree with him on that. Nothing is set in stone yet, but I do think the favorite in terms of what position Coleman moves to is guard. Now, if they could go get Tate Ratledge out of Georgia, 6'6", 320, and kick his big ass inside the guard, maybe you can put Coleman to tackle. What annoyed me earlier today, someone had the nerve, and I almost wanted to unfollow him. Someone had the nerve to describe Andrew. Oh, Andrew Wiley could be the swing tackle. What? How many snaps has he taken at left tackle to be the swing tackle? Jabronis? Your swing tackle is your starting left guard, Brandon Coleman. Because guess what? This is why, to me, it's important to beef up the interior. Because if someone gets, if Tunsil gets hurt at left tackle, if Wiley gets hurt at right tackle, Coleman can play on either island. So you move him to that spot and you fill in Brandon Coleman's spot with another guard. So to me, my projected Commander's starting offensive line going into training camp, left to right, Tunsil at left tackle, Coleman at left guard, Biadasz obviously at center, Nick Allegretti at right guard, and then Andrew Wiley at right tackle. And I'll be real, if that's the group going into next year, I feel good about it. I feel good about it. Do you, though? 1-800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. If you are Washington, should you be comfortable with what you have right now at the guard spot? If you are Washington, should you be comfortable right now with what you have at the guard spot? I mean, or excuse me, up front along your offensive line. 1-800-636-1067. We'll get your thoughts next as the Fan. One 800-636-1067 is the number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at N-E-L-L underscore BTP. It's a Thursday night edition of Overtime. We'll take you up to 10-15. Caps in L.A. They continue their West Coast road trip tonight against the Kings. Wizards in action right now in Motown against Detroit. They're down 11-3. We gave you the news at the top of the show. Bilal Coulibaly, Wizards' second-year combo. Wizards second-year combo guard out for the remainder of the season. Well, out 4 to 6 weeks. I expect it to be the remainder of the season. Tough news for Bilal as it's the second straight year in which his season has been cut short due to injury. We'll talk about that in more detail as we roll throughout the show. In the 9 o'clock hour, Maryland Terrapins color analyst Chris Nockey going to join the program. We'll get his thoughts on what is next for the Terps as they get geared up for their first game in the Big Ten tournament tomorrow night. We'll be on the air while that is happening. So also super excited about that. Love catching up with Chris Nockey. We'll ask him about the state of the other teams locally as well. American University punching their ticket. George Mason potentially going to punch their ticket. So excited about all the college basketball that's coming up. Chris Nockey will join us in the 9 o'clock hour to discuss that. In about an hour or so, by 8:40, our pal David Harrison, host of the Locked On Commanders podcast, is going to join us. We'll ask him the question we're asking you. The Commanders, to me, have done a really solid job retooling this offensive line this offseason. Bringing in Laremy Tunsil, to me, is a two-for-one move that allows you to put Brandon Coleman at another position. My preferred position is guard. But some folks, including me, thought an upgrade could be used at the right tackle spot. Andrew Wiley last year, 59.3 overall grade via PFF, 62.7 pass blocking grade, 53.1 run blocking grade. But I thought the scheme protected him a lot more than it had in seasons past with Eric Bieniemy as your offensive coordinator and Scott Turner as your offensive coordinator. So I look at this group up front along your offensive line and go, you know, I could use some more depth. But overall, my starting five, and you're going to get Cosme back. So that's the other thing, too. But overall, I think it's a pretty decent group. I really do. I think it's a group that is better than what they were last year because of the Tunsil acquisition, and then you're moving Coleman to another position. And I think it's a unit that is going to build some continuity here. That's what I like. Is Andrew Wiley's probably not going to be here long term. Let's just be real. But your interior three of Coleman, Biadasz, Cosme, that nucleus, the battery, so to speak, of your offensive line will be in place for the next 5 to 7 years. So I'm excited about that. Left tackle, you got a bookend. You can't name me three left tackles better than Laramie Tunsil. A little bit later on in the show, Sean Pendergrass, a couple of cuts from my conversation with him, sounded like a straight-up hater. Sounded like a straight-up, bona fide, stuck-in-my-mama's-basement hater. That's what he sounded like when he joined me the other day and was talking about, well, why did Houston get rid of Laramie Tunsil? Give me a damn break. Washington, don't let anybody fool you, man. I know there have been a bunch of hating-ass Texans beat writers all up and down to Team 980, all up and down 106.7 The Fan, trying to tell us why they were stupid enough to move off of arguably the best pass-blocking left tackle in football in Laramie Tunsil. But because of his acquisition, you got to feel good about what this group has. And I do. And I can sit here on March the 13th and say, yeah, I like this offensive line, this projected offensive line, a hell of a lot better than what they've had previously. 1-800-636-1067. Your confidence level in this revamped Commanders offensive line, can I add the caveat of, hey, there's still an entire NFL draft to go. There's still more waves of free agency to go. But right now, as things currently sit, your confidence level in this Commander's offensive line. Let's go to Mo in D.C. What's going on, Mo?
You talking to me, Big A?
I mean, your name Mo, ain't it, brother?
Nah, it's usually Uptown Mo. I don't know if he put the joke on there. My bad.
He didn't put. No, he didn't. He didn't. Okay. I was about to say, damn, brother. What? You talking to me. You see what type of mood I'm in tonight. I'm on one.
So,
what's going on, man?
Moving Coleman inside, he going to remind me of Trey Johnson, one of my favorite all-time, Redskins.
Some may say I'm too young for Trey Johnson, Uptown Mo, but I know what you're talking about.
Nah, I wouldn't even carry you like that. That's why I said the name. But so when you look at the – okay, so, yes, solid start. We do need a draft because Wiley is a weak link, and Allegretti for real is a weak link. He battling there, but
right.
When you look at the two D lines that I feel like we're going to have to compete with, three D lines. When you look at Philly D line, when you look at the Rams D line, and when you look at Detroit D line fully healthy, you need young athletic guards because their three techniques and their DNs are crazy. You know what I mean? So, yeah, it's a good start. I like Tunsil. You know, Gas Mask Tunsil. He comes to the city, man. Everybody got to keep an eye out on him, Slim, because the city wild for people like him, Slim.
Yeah,
I'm telling you. He going to get turned up. He think Houston was a problem coming to the city.
Don't nobody show him the Adams Morgan or Ustream. Make sure you keep,
man, please,
keep his ass.
There's going to be pictures on more TMZ. You in. But what I'm saying is, I think Wiley can go. He's not a swing tackle, so I want to upgrade at Wiley, and I want to upgrade at Allegretti, so we can move Coleman to his natural position. Keep me. I hate the Dietrich signing. I know that you need a backup center, but it's got to be another backup center besides Dietrich because he gets killed. He gets killed in there. So
the thing I will say to defend the Dieter move is, I don't. If he makes, you heard what I said to start the show. If he makes your roster, they failed. I don't think he makes the roster. I think he's a comfortable depth piece that already knows your offense. So I think, okay. But I don't think he'll make the final 53.
If you look at, you're right. He had a good Detroit game. He did not have a good Philadelphia Eagles game. Him or Chris Paul, they was getting tossed out the club.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? So I like Trent Scott in a pinch or whatever, but we need to upgrade all around because guess what, Big A? I just heard the stat. Philly got 22 picks in the next 2 years. Did you know that?
22 draft picks?
22 draft picks.
Oh, well, they'll have Trey Hendrickson before the season starts, so don't worry about that.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
I can't even believe that that's the case. Ah, wow.
We got five.
Yeah. So.
They lost a lot of pieces. They're going to reload, and if it's an arms race, then, I need Adam Peters to look like we really need. But I like the fact that we got larger across the D-line and definitely got larger across the O-line. We just need one, that piece, that other tackle or that other guard.
Right. For sure. Mo, appreciate you as always, brother. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. Reese is in Stafford. Want to chime in. What's going on, Reese?
Hey, man. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, brother? How are you?
Oh, good, man. You?
I'm
hey,
good.
Just wondering, what about bringing Brandon Sheriff back?
Yeah, I like it.
You know, you got a veteran guy, and, you know, why wait for Cosner to come back? We let Cosner come back all slow and everything so we don't take any chances with him, you know, re-hurting it or anything.
I like Brandon Sheriff, man. I was sad to see Sheriff go. The reason Sheriff ultimately left, Reese, was because at the time the guard market was exploding. And then,
100%.
And then his – what was his biggest problem is the availability. That was his problem here. I think it was his problem in Jacksonville as well. So, but he's a damn good player. Damn good player. Yep, I'd love to have him back.
I mean, it'd be nice to have a nice veteran presence, you know, help, you know, that could help Cosme out a little bit too, you know.
For sure. So let me ask you this before we let you go, Reese. Your confidence level 1 through 10 in the current offensive line. That's the official question we're asking here at 1-800-636-1067.
Out of a 10, I'd say 8.5.
Yeah.
The only thing that's got me worried, is a is the right tackle right now. It's the only thing that's got me worried.
For sure.
Because I would like to, I would definitely side Coleman in into guard with Tunsil being on the outside, and you completely sealed that left side.
Yeah.
So put the physical man inside the Coleman, and we got it.
I hope for once John Kime is wrong. Appreciate the call. 1-800-636-1067. Yeah. The Brandon Coleman thing, there's no chance in hell if it was. And now people are tweeting at me, well, I'm glad that you think you know more than the coach. Shut up. No, I never said I think I know more than the damn coaches, you nitwits. All I'm saying is that if you blindly polled 1,000 people in football circles, they tell you his ass is better at guard. That's all I'm saying. 1-800-636-1067. When we come back, more of your calls, your confidence level, 1 through 10, in this projected Commanders offensive line next. The number. You can tweet at me as well. It's at @NELL_BTP. It's a Thursday night edition of Overtime. You're tapped in to the youngest in charge, Linnell Willingham. Will take you up to 10:15 tonight. Caps hockey coming up when we're off the air. A 10:30 face-off out in L.A. John Walton, Ken Sabourin on the call per usual right here on the flagship home for Washington Capitals hockey, 106.7 The Fan. A lot to get to. We'll switch gears off of the NFL a little bit as we creep into the back half of the 8 o'clock hour into 9 o'clock. Some Wizards news to get to. They're actually in action right now on the road against the Pistons. We let you know earlier, Bilal Coulibaly out for the remainder of the season. We'll take a deep dive into his numbers comparing year one in D.C. to year number two. So we'll do that in the 9 o'clock hour. We'll also have our pal Chris Nocke stop by, color analyst for the Maryland Terrapins Radio Network. We'll get his thoughts on Maryland opening up their Big Ten tournament play tomorrow. They will take on the winner of Illinois and Iowa. I was going to say if I'm not mistaken, but that's who the hell they play, damn it. But a lot more to get to here throughout the show. Wizards update here for you real quick. They're down 25-23 with 2:50 and counting left in the opening quarter. They're taking on a red-hot Pistons team that has just been playing as good a basketball in the second half of the season as anybody in the Eastern Conference. Kate Cunningham, shoo-in to me. I don't know if he'll win it because there are other deserving candidates, specifically Peyton Pritchard out in Boston. But looks like a strong candidate for most improved player. I don't know if he's got all NBA numbers, but the impact that he's had on that Detroit team that has been a team that's had the worst record in basketball each of the last four seasons. He's got them comfortable in the Eastern Conference. They, barring some crazy collapse, are going to be a postseason team. They're right now the sixth seed in the East. So good test tonight here for Washington. What we're talking about right now, though, at 1-800-636-1067, the Commanders restructuring Andrew Wiley's contract. He will stay here in Washington and play out the remainder of that contract, 1 year left on the deal. Your projected Commander starting offensive line, to me at least, I know people are going to have differing opinions, left tackle, Laremy Tunsil, left guard, Brandon Coleman, center, Tyler Biadasz, right guard, when he's healthy, Sam Cosmi, but to start camp, Nick Allegretti, and then Andrew Wiley at the right tackle spot. I think the battery of your offensive line, your guard-center-guard combination,
with Coleman, Biadasz, and Cosme has a chance to be one of the best in the NFL for the next 5 to 7 years. So that's really, really encouraging. You got a bookend left tackle in Laremy Tunsil. You didn't upgrade at right tackle, and I thought you needed to, but we'll see. We still have another wave of free agency. We still have the draft. So I don't know what they'll ultimately do at right tackle. If they got to run it back with Andrew Wiley, I don't know. We'll see. Your calls, though. 1-800-636-1067. Your confidence in this Commanders offensive line as we get geared up for the NFL draft. 1 through 10 at 1-800-636-1067. I think my confidence, if I had to give you a number, I like the group. My confidence level in it is like a 7, 6.5, 7. The depth is the thing that I'm still concerned with. They brought back Trent Scott, which I like. They brought back Michael Dieter. Can't understand why. So we'll see what they do in the draft and through the duration of free agency. They may hit the UDFA market and find an offensive lineman. You never know. But right now, as things currently sit, your confidence level in this Commanders offensive line 1 through 10. Dave is in Tyson's. What's up, Dave?
Hey, man. How's it going? I actually do have a good amount of confidence. I think the Tunsil acquisition was the single most impactful player that switched team in this free agency class. But no, to your point, there's no depth. Yeah. But it is the strength of our team. If there's one group that I want to be strong, it's that group. So I'm very pleased with that. But I just think in general, we're an injury or two away from having some issues, and we've gotten rather older with a lot of these free agents. So I think you have to anticipate you're not going to get a full 17 games from them. So I'm just curious to see how they address that. You still have Cam Robinson. He's out there. You insert him at right tackle. And
that's interesting, Dave.
Yeah. And I mean, why not do that? Because they've been so frugal.
The money,
everywhere else. So
yeah. I think the cost for Cam Robinson. I think, Dave, the cost for Cam Robinson, if you saw what Dan Moore got in Tennessee with the Titans, $20 million per year. I mean, Cam Robinson, I think, would for sure garner more than that.
That's the whole issue. All of these contracts are inflated because of the salary cap move.
Well,
so these are all by nature bad contracts. So I understand why they're doing what they're doing. But it's just like, I'm just very curious to see how they fill out the rest of this roster, because, like I said, we're an injury or two away from having to get very creative.
Yeah, I don't want to see the creativity of this group, Dave, is the best way that I could put it. You know what's crazy to your point, Dave? Last year, and I think this is a credit to their training staff and the practice schedule and the way that they maintenance, the preventative maintenance, rather, that they do with these guys. They were one of the few – in terms of man games lost to injury, they were one of the fewest in the NFL last year. So
yeah,
I think that comes back to bite you if you are it kind of evens itself out over the course of time. Appreciate you as always, Dave. The injury thing concerns me. The depth up front does concern me. But think about this. I remember talking to John Kime, we're watching Jets joint practice. That was the concern last year, was the depth of this offensive line. Now, obviously, the depth didn't get tested because of how healthy you were up front. But like I just said, can you really rely on that being the case 2 seasons in a row? I don't know if you can. They've still got draft capital. I think they acquire and accumulate more picks by moving off of 61 and or 29. So there's a chance for them to improve the depth. I just think we're going to have to wait until the draft for that. That's my thing.
To the grumpy folks on Twitter saying Adam Peters is building a retirement home right
now.
That's
just stupid.
I think people need to understand that free agency is where you go to get older. You don't get really younger by addressing the team in free agency. Last year, of course, they do sign a couple guys who were on the ascension, like Frankie Louvu, who was 27, 28 at the time. But typically in free agency, great players, they don't hit free agency. Great players are extended by their teams. They're there for a longer period of time. You don't get these guys while you're young. You want to add these free agent pieces when they're older to help improve your roster. And like we've already talked about the entire show so far, they've made significant upgrades at many aspects of the defensive back room. I think the defensive line, they've beefed up the trenches pretty well.
We got.
I think getting the age in there has been good.
Well, love this. We
Got some breaking Commanders free agent news. We'll get to it on the other side of the break. Don't go anywhere. This is The Fan. Still rocking and rolling here on this Thursday night edition of Overtime. It's the Youngest and Charles and O. Willingham taking you up the 10-15. Caps hockey comes your way after we're off the air. Wizards update for you. They're down 3, 36-33 with 10:42 and counting left to go in the opening half. Competitive basketball being played right now by the shorthanded Wizards. We told you when the show started, no Bilal Coulibaly for the next 4 to 6 weeks and likely the remainder of the season after the scary tumble he took in Toronto the other night. His hamstring, of all things, is what is ailing him. I doubt we see him for the remainder of the season. We'll talk about Bilal's sophomore season and compare it to year number one in the 9 o'clock hour. Also in that 9 o'clock hour, pal Chris Nockey, color analyst for the Maryland Terrapins Radio Network, going to join us as they get geared up for the Big Ten tournament tomorrow. They play the winner of Iowa and Illinois, so excited to talk to our guy Chris Nockey about that. The Commanders, though, active fortifying the offensive line to start the offseason. It's the best way that I can put it, fortifying it. Still have some holes in terms of depth. I still think you should be looking for an upgrade at the right tackle spot, but I like what Washington's done at this point. I really do. Adding Laremy Tunsil was huge. Being able to kick Brandon Coleman inside the guard was huge. The move they made today, restructuring Andrew Wiley's deal, I think it all but guarantees he is your starting right tackle entering training camp. We will see what type of competition and depth that they bring in via the draft or the later stages of free agency. But I'm pretty confident in this group, and I think you've for damn sure gotten better. I keep looking back at what your interior could potentially be for years down the line. That's what excites me the most. And, oh, yeah, you added the best pass-protecting left tackle in football in Laremy Tunsil. Your thoughts, though, at 1-800-636-1067. If you are a Commanders fan out there, what is your confidence level in this Commanders offensive line to this point? Now, obviously, they've got pieces to add. But right now, as we sit here creeping up on 8 o'clock on March the 13th, how do you feel about this offensive line? How confident are you in this offensive line? Costa, it's in Maryland. What's going on? Hey, hello? There, brother. What's going on? How are you?
Hey, how's it going, man?
Good. How you doing?
Oh, dude, I'm kicking butt. Dude, this offensive line, compared to last year, from where it started, and we're not even through free agency or the draft yet, to me is light years ahead. Yeah. The thing that I think I'm most personally excited about is to see what happens not only in the passing game, but my gosh, man, the running game.
Yes.
Like, how many times did we see Brian Robinson running into the back of offensive lineman's legs? And we got to upgrade in the running back position. So with that upgraded, especially the center, with having Coleman at left guard, and then I guess Alec Reddy at right guard until Cosme comes back.
Yeah,
it's going to be night and day, my friend.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know if you've heard the scuttlebutt about Brandon Coleman potentially going to right tackle. Do you prefer him at right tackle, or would you prefer him at left guard? I prefer him at guard.
I mean, if we look at it like this, Wiley in 2023 was straight arse at right tackle, right? 2024, he literally turned it around. I'm not saying he's all pro or nothing like that.
He played
better. He definitely redeemed himself, right? That's why he's not cut, and they restructured him and kept him. So why would you take a proven commodity, you know, and now try a whole new experiment at right tackle, right? Like, that doesn't make sense to me.
Yeah. I'm 100% on board with you, Costa. I appreciate the call as always, my man. Yeah, I think it'll probably be a pretty significant talking point from here moving forward. Like, whoa, is Andrew Wiley your starting right tackle week one when you open up the regular season? I don't know if he is. If he is, though, I'd be a little bit concerned. I don't know. I'm giving you my emotions in real time here because, like, he had the benefit of Jaden Daniels being his quarterback.
His pass protection was piss poor a season ago. But everyone's going to tell me he gave up zero sacks. Well, because Jayden Daniels can see all of the pressures coming his way. The highlight, one of the first highlights of the season, that Jayden Daniels scramble outside of the pocket to the right to Terry McLaurin for 60-plus yards, that happened because Andrew Wiley got his ass whipped. That's why that had to happen. Everyone looks at the amount of scrambles that Jayden Daniels had. And, you know, listener beware, it's something I'm going to be talking about as the offseason rolls on here. He can't scramble as much as he did this past year. It's not sustainable. He's going to get hurt. So you improve this offensive line as much as you can so that scramble percentage goes down. And I think I DM'd myself the numbers earlier today from him as a scrambler last year and just how often he relied on that. I just don't think it's a sustainable way to live at that size at the quarterback position. Now, the design quarterback runs, I'm all for, but the scrambles have got to slow up here.
Well, we're on the subject of Andrew Wiley here. This is really interesting for me because two seasons ago, his first year here in Washington, we're halfway through the year. I would say there's a snowball's chance in hell that Wiley's even back on this team next year because of how bad he was. But one of the things that I noticed with him toward the second half of this year, he's kind of dependent in a way of who the center is, which is really interesting. I'm not sure why that's the case, but once Nick Gates was off that football team, Andrew Wiley did look a little bit better to me. And then this past year, of course, he did struggle a little bit. But I think the games where obviously the Commanders' offensive line struggled the most were the games where Michael Dieter was playing this year. The center position, I think, is a lot more valuable than people would even realize in terms of how it works in pass protection, run blocking. And that's why I'm a little bit concerned with the Dieter thing. But as you mentioned earlier, hopefully he's not a guy that's actually on this 53-man roster because Biadasz, I mean, he got beat up as the year went on. He had to play hurt
and that's my problem. Yeah. Biadasz had to play hurt, and he sucked while he was hurt.
Yeah.
Just because Dieter was that bad.
And Wiley, at times, was playing beat up as well. So he's a guy that kind of can, you know, benefit from being healthy at the time. But usually by the end of the year, everyone on the offensive line is healthy or hurt, including Brandon Coleman.
And that's another thing, right? If Brandon Coleman was such a potential asset, well, he was banged up too, though. So let me just shut up. So I was like, well, if Wiley was banged up, I'd just throw Cornelius Lucas in and put Brandon Coleman at the right tackle spot. But as we know, Coleman was pretty nicked up last year as well. I wonder how much his injuries hurt him. I didn't even announce the breaking news. I went to break saying that we had breaking news on the Washington Commanders. They re-signed special teams ace Nick Ballore to a 2-year extension. He'll be 37. 37 by the time the contract is up. He was awesome, though, last year. I mean, I think the Commanders' special teams unit, the kickoff unit in particular, was such a tone setter for this football team. And it's one reason I love me some Jeremy Chinn. His willingness as a starting safety to be on the kickoff unit, it just doesn't happen. I'll tell you this, as a spoiled high school football player, I didn't want to play kickoff because I was like, well, I'm starting at defensive end and I'm starting on the offensive line. Why do I got to play special teams? I was a long snapper, so I had to play punt and field goal and stuff like that, but I was not a fan of playing kickoff. Nick Ballore loves kickoff. Him and Jeremy Reeves, and I give credit to Chris Rodriguez as well. When he had to play teams, he was really good. It's a crash-out position. It's a crash-out job. You have to be wired like a madman to sprint balls to the wall down the field and knock somebody upside their head five or six times a game. It's a very, very, very interesting position. Not glorified at all, but I think the physicality and the nastiness that we saw from Washington on defense, I think it was spearheaded by the physicality and the aggression of the special teams unit. 1-800-636-1067. If you got any more calls and thoughts on this Commanders offensive line, we'll take it. When we get back, though, the Commanders have done a pretty good job bringing back their own unrestricted free agents. They lost a couple of guys, though. When we come back, I'll tell you which Commander's loss is ultimately going to be felt the most. It's next here on The Fan.